Blog Talk Radio.
This is an unlawful gathering. The truth is out there.
This is the underground. This is New Media. This is the underground. This is New Media.
Rangeham fans, remember what's the critical thinking hanger? Rangeham fans, remember what's the critical thinking hanger?
Now here is the starting lineup for the New York Rangers. And now here is the starting lineup for the New York Rangers.
This is New York Rangers hockey. 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 This is New York Rangers hockey.
Good evening and welcome to Blue Shirt Underground Radio. We are back. Eddie, good evening.
How are ya? Wow. We're really excited to be back. I'm glad to be amongst fans, the hardcore, the diehards, the sons of bitches that follow our New York Rangers closer than anybody, anywhere. I'm feeling great just to be back with everybody, and now we can all talk about hockey. We can put down our feuds about football and baseball and just get all together and just celebrate everything Ranger hockey.
We are back. We are bad. Eddie is black. I am mad. We're off. And for those of you listening to for the first time, it always sounds like this. Do not attempt to adjust your internet. The show sounds like shit 95% of the time. Welcome to Blue Shirt Underground Radio, the best place to hear New York Rangers talk, discussion, and garbage. Refresh Frosty says it never sounded better. Refresh your page if it doesn't sound right. We apologize. That's Blog Talk for you. So you want to get right into the line combinations for 2000?
Well, I'm sure everybody wants to talk about them, but there's some other things to talk about. I mean, the lockout has ended, and Russ Cohen will be joining us, right, to kind of explain what happened.
Yes. He should be along in just a few minutes. Always good to talk to Russ. He's going to kind of take us through this because I don't know about you, but I really have no idea what they were arguing about other than money, obviously. I mean, I don't really know what they agreed upon, the whole bit. Russ Cohen was on XM earlier today. Rehearsing, obviously. You know, that's like...
Yeah. He was on XM. He knows he's going to be on the big show. The show counts. First of all, we got more listeners than XM Radio. Are you kidding me? Who's listening to Russ there?
We got tries out his material there, and then he brings it here. You know, it's like when a comedian's going to go out on the road. First he goes, he warms up at a few little shithole comedy clubs, and then he goes and plays the Carnegie Hall or whatever.
Yeah, well, at least Caroline's.
Right.
Know what I'm saying? Player? All right.
You hear
me?
I hear you.
So, I don't want to really... Russell do his shtick about what went down and the whole thing and that. I really don't want to get into how much they hurt me or didn't hurt me or whose side I'm on. I could give a shit less. I'm going to break out the expletives very early in the show today.
Right.
We got hockey. It's National Hockey League hockey. The players will play. We will be disgusted and enthused within probably 2 weeks or so. We'll be on the emotional roller coaster. I've missed it. I know you've missed it. And I'm ready to get right into what's going on with the Rangers and the state of the Rangers. And, you know, when Russ gets here, he'll do his thing. Just, you know, I didn't know where you wanted to start off this show. I guess this is the first time we really even had a chance, you know, we'll have a chance to talk about Rick Nash and, you know, why he may put us over the top, so to speak. I have some thoughts on that. And I'm a little bit cautiously optimistic, as most Ranger fans are, but I think I'm a little bit more so because I have some problems with the team. And I know you guys are going to probably get all over me, but that's what this show is all about, is dysfunction and mayhem amongst each other. So what do you got to say other than Frosty keeps saying trade Hank?
Well, obviously we're going to trade Hank. I mean, that starts and tank for you know, Acosta would say tank for the pick or whatever.
Yeah.
So you don't want to hear any of my take on the lockout or how I'm feeling about hockey coming back. You don't care. You just want to talk about hockey. You just want to go right into it.
Well,
you line combinations. You want to talk about how many games Hank should start.
Whatever's weighing heavy on your heart, feel free to use this form to just. But for me, I don't give a shit. It's back.
Well,
so you got it.
All right. Well, really quick. I don't want to sound like another hockey show, but you know, you and I were on the phone the other night, big boy. And you said to me, you said, "Well, I'm really excited. Hockey's back." He says, "I know you," and you said to me, "I know you are too, but I don't think you're as excited as I am." And I was kind of thinking about that. And I was trying to put my how I was feeling about this whole thing into an analogy. So I've come up with this. I've said it before, and I said it on my video that went semi-viral with Ranger fans. Anyway, that you know, when you're a Ranger fan or a fan of any team, it's like entering into a marriage. Well, you know, back in 92, as far as I'm concerned, my wife kicked me out. Then she gave me this beautiful baby in 1994, and then she kicked me out again. And right? And then we got back together, and it seemed really good at first, but then we had some rocky roads, and then we broke up again in 2004, and I didn't see her for a year. There was no prizes, no nothing. Then we got back together, and things were really good. And then we hit another little low point, and then things got really good again. Then things got great. I don't think our marriage had ever been much better than it was last year. And then she threw me out again. And now, 6 months later, she wants me back.
Wow.
That's kind of how I feel. She keeps kicking me out. And then wanting me to move back right back in.
Well.
Yeah, we'll get back together because she's a hot chick. And, yeah, I'll go back with her and, you know.
Can't resist.
It's, you know, but you know, I don't know. That's how I feel. Other than that, get on with the show.
All right. Okay, well, people were saying it was turning into the Dr. Phil show here.
No, you were saying that.
No, you were making a good analogy, a parable. It's, I don't know what the hell
that a parable or a very subtle joke.
What do I know?
If there is anyone in the chat room that could tell me what song that line's from, I'll give them 1,000 Blue Shirt Underground points.
Oh, what? We got a point system this year?
I don't know what. Yeah, I don't
got
know.
A rewards program going?
Yeah, wall balance, you know.
Oh boy. Anyway, you know what's on my mind?
Chip stamps.
Now the Rangers. The rumors are already starting about who the Rangers may be trying to acquire. Have you heard any of this?
Oh, here we go. Are we going to right the wrong? Are we going to bring back Scott Gomez?
You're close. They're already going back. You know what it is. They're looking at some old material here. They're looking at some old material.
Are we?
According to ESPN's Katie, I got to get some Strange, or whatever her name is, Strang. Dominic Moore. is in the mix.
Really?
Yeah, he's a Group 3 free agent. On a serious note, and this will be the only serious note that there'll be in this show, Moore's wife just died of liver cancer. That's why he hadn't signed with anybody in the offseason. It's got to be devastating for him, and condolences go out to the Moors. Now we cannot be serious and rip right into Dominic Moron. I don't know why we got to go after this guy. He had like 18 goals, I think, with Tampa a couple of years ago, but a lot
17
of people...
17 of them were against the Rangers.
That's true, as I remember. He did score against the Rangers a lot. They're looking at him as a third. I kind of think Dominic Moore as a Rennie guy, not as a Torts kind of dude. So I'm not too excited about that. But, you know, I'm not really excited by a lot of the Ranger third and fourth liners. So maybe he could be serviceable. One of my concerns going into the season is who the hell is Carl Hagelin going to play with? You know, is he going to be centering the line with Pyatt and Jeff Halpern?
No. Jim Cerny's got it all figured out. Didn't you read the chat yesterday? Brian Boyle, he's going to play on the third line with Brian Boyle. How many times do you think Carl Hagelin could go end-to-end before Brian Boyle gets to the red line?
Oh, boy. That's going to kill this kid's potential. I mean, I know you got to move up the ladder. Please. I mean, and Boyle, it's just, even if you pass the puck to him, his shots on goal are like passes. They got nothing on them. See, I'm already complaining already. Didn't even happen yet. And then also in the Rangers' sights, which I think is kind of a, it's kind of ironic, is that Paul Ranger, the 28-year-old defenseman from Whitby, Ontario.
Not to be confused with Bobby Ranger.
Right, which, you know, will lend a lot of jokes, is also possibly in the Rangers' sights as they try to shore up that sick D-man spot, or, you know, depending on MBZ, what comes out with that and how long that takes. Although, Ranger fans seem to be pretty solid there with Stu Bickle as the sixth guy again. And listen, it worked last year, so... So I don't think the Rangers' problem will come from the back line. I really think you got to, I don't want to do a whole overview and preview. You guys all know it. My problem with the Rangers going into the season is, will they be able to kind of transform themselves into a 1-0 team, into a team that really can take the play to the other team? Last year, even though they had some playoff success, we all know that a lot of the time the game is in the Rangers' end, and that's got to stop, especially now that you have Gaborik, you have Richards, you have Nash, you've got some speed with Hagelin. You got a talented team, pretty talented up forward. First two lines, Callahan, and so I really think it's going to come. Are we going to see the same Tortorella, like stay in our own zone and I hope Henrik bails us out?
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, that's what we're going to say. Yeah, I thought that too as well.
Yes, that's it. Okay. That's all I have to say about the entire season.
All right, so our guest is here, I believe. I just saw him walk through the green room.
Yes, he's coming through the green room now, being brought out by the Blue Shirt Underground spokesmodels. So, ladies and gentlemen, we would like to welcome back to the show the author of 100 Ranger Greats, also of Strike 3. His new book, The Winter Classic, is now available. And according to Amazon.com, he is the author of Wild Plants I Have Known and Eaten. A man who is Dennis Franz's stunt double for the nude scenes at NYPD Blue. A man who briefly toured with Hall and Oates and Cohen. A man who, according to Carly Simon, is the one true subject of You're So Vain. A man who had Angelina Jolie so heartbroken she married Billy Bob Thornton on the rebound. And the man who turned down George Lucas for the role of Indiana Jones. Ladies and gentlemen, the man who once a year gets his house toilet papered by Ulf Nielsen, Russ Cohen. Russ, nice to hear you were warming up for the big show on XM Radio today. Good evening and welcome back.
I was. Thanks. Very nice. Very nice intro. You guys always give me the best intro. I really do appreciate it.
I didn't get that on XM.
No, but I got to tell you, that other Russ Cohen with the edible plants, I don't know.
That was
different
you.
Guy. No. The guy out there.
Oh, that's great.
And Adam Rader is here, apparently.
The guy follows me around. What can I tell you?
He's your personal photographer, as I saw the...
Well, I don't want to call him that. That's not nice. But, yeah, I guess he was. Sure, why not?
So, Russ, tell us all about it. Tell us the story about... I mean, you were there. I mean, you were following it in person. You weren't like some, you know...
Well, I wasn't in person, but I was following it. I certainly was not waiting out in the cold for everybody to make up their minds. I was not that guy. No.
No. So what's going on? What happened? What, you know what? Paint the picture to me who's, you know, I followed it, but I'm not a financial guy. I mean, what did it start off as and what did it end up being? I mean, what was the split, the revenue split in the beginning? Wasn't it like 57-50 in the players?
It was 57-50.
Right. What did it end up being?
50-50.
Okay, well... Wasn't that discussed like a couple of months ago that it was going to be 50-50 and the players said no way?
Yeah, but then there was that make whole money because the players still wanted to get paid even though they hadn't been playing because they said they weren't locked out, then they wouldn't be playing. So it was that whole thing. So they gave them, the owners gave them $300 million towards that. Now, the interesting part about, now I will tell you this though, before you go wow, what I'm starting to find out about that is, like everything else, like when you go on any game show and you win $1 million and you find out you're getting like $10,000 a year for the rest of your life, it seems
right.
Like this $300 million for the make whole is over a 3 or 4 year period, too.
Oh, so it's like deferred.
It's like payments. It's not really deferred,
right.
but it's payments.
It's like you win the lottery. They don't give you all the big money, all but you know, you get it over a year.
Yeah.
I see what you're saying. All right, so we got that. So they did win on that one. Where did the players lose out? Well, they lost the 7%.
Yeah.
What else went on?
But, you know, here's the thing. I think everybody lost. But I think ultimately the players lost when they took it this long. Now, I understand it's a two-sided street, and it is. But let's say the players settled in – late November, early December, the losses wouldn't have been as great. They still would have gotten their make-whole money because I think things were right at that one point and then it broke off. So I think, ultimately, they lost out on this year's revenue that they're going to split. And I don't hear any player talking about it, but the fact that this year sort of got trashed because it's starting late, the marketing won't be there, all those different things, that is essentially going to be lost revenue on that 50-50 split. But again, a lot of players don't think like owners, so they only think about what their contract is and what they have to kick in and what they might get back. But they're missing out on that 50-50 split because the league is going to have essentially 2 weeks to market this season. So they're never going to make the same money.
Right. So... That's what the players. Although I think that's a fair assessment. Again, they don't think like owners, and you know, it may hurt them down the while. I had a question for you, and I don't know if you have the answer to this, but as we all know, Michael Delzato is in the middle of an arbitration, contract thing.
Yep.
If whatever he signs, this is the question I have: is whatever he signs, or whenever he signs. That deal, would it be prorated for the rest of the season, or does it... Maybe they haven't even figured this out. I mean, but do you have any idea what happens in a case like that?
Well, it'd be prorated because you can't sign for, like, an 82-game season and get paid that way for only 48 games. So it'll get prorated, but in his check, not to the cap, though. To the cap, they're going to count it as that big number. Because they raised the cap to $70 million. So you have to look at it that way. Now, the interesting thing about the RFAs before you had to give up three or four number ones, and I think that was the penalty if you signed the guy to the offer sheet and the other team didn't keep him. We don't know. We currently do not know what the new implications are. For all we know, if they have lowered those implications of picking up an RFA, then a team who is looking to get to the cap floor, who might be under the cap, because $44 million is the cap floor. If you're not there, you don't get revenue sharing, and they have increased revenue sharing, so there's every reason to believe teams want to do that. You might have some fishing for RFAs that currently hasn't gone on before.
Right, yeah, that would definitely give impetus, like you said, to some lesser teams teams that try to reach the cap floor, just going
right.
out and saying, listen, we're going to offer Michael Delzato, $6 million
And they might cap out the Rangers in the process, Right now the
right.
Rangers are in good shape, they're under the cap, but they still need depth players, like you were talking about, and, what if somebody gave him what the Rangers deemed their ridiculous contract and maybe a 6-7 year deal for, let's say, $6 million a year? I mean, they may balk at it. It's a possibility, and I think that has to be the number one priority for Glenn Seder, is to certainly sign this guy the minute he's able to do that after they ratify him. But ratifying on the owner's side will be Wednesday, and then the players may not be done until Friday. So I wouldn't expect Delzato to be in camp early, and you might not see him until next week unless they don't get him signed right away. So that's another situation where then he can't even work out with the team until they get him signed. And as you all know, and all Ranger fans know, they don't have a power play quarterback. So if they don't sign him, they don't currently have an option. Not a real option anyhow.
That's where I think they'll, MDZ may have some leverage. But the way it ended was not, as I recall, it was Seder was pretty adamant that, Delzato and his agent were, basically in, la-la land with the kind of money that they wanted. It was nowhere near what they were going to settle and give him.
But we have to remember this. The biggest commodity in the NHL is an offensive defenseman and one who can run the power play. There's a big shortage.
Certainly.
Obviously, there's been a shortage in New York for a couple of years, and Delzato has sort of filled it, but hasn't fully reached his potential, but certainly looks like he's heading in that direction. The Rangers don't have anybody else in their entire system, rookies included, guys and juniors included, that can do that as far as a defenseman goes. Now, you might be able to put Rick Nash there, and that might be able to be a patch. That's possible. But you could conceivably go into this season and say, hey, even if you believe the Rangers are one of the top contending cup teams, which they are, that's going to be a big problem. It's going to be a big negative, unless all of a sudden they turn into the Buffalo Sabres when they rolled out four forwards. But then you know what happens. A lot of times you're susceptible to the shorthanded goal. And as much as those Buffalo Sabres scored back in the day with those four forwards, they never won a cup either. So.
Right.
Nobody. That's the reason nobody's really run with that ever since, other than Carolina. Carolina did do it at times, did win a cup when they had Matt Cullen doing it, but they didn't do it as religiously as Buffalo. But they did do it. But that's it. I mean, those are the only two instances. So, they do have a bit of a problem that way. Paul Ranger, I heard you talking about him. Boy, he might be as marginal as Anton Strahlman and Stu Bickel, so I'm not even sure you could call that an upgrade. And Steve Emminger is in the mix, too. I didn't hear you mention him, but unfortunately, or fortunately, if you like him, Steve Emminger is in the mix as well. He is signed.
Yeah, I know. He did get signed. And I always think it's one thing that John Tortorella does, at least, and Jim, you can jump in here any time, because me and Russ are having a good relationship here. for change. One thing about Tortorella is that he gets these defensemen to really play at the top of the game, probably, almost overachieve. That's one success that this guy has had. And so I feel like, there are some negatives to Tortorella, as I mentioned in the beginning. I don't think he really knows how to coach offensive players. I think he has a hard problem with anybody who doesn't have any kind of grit, who doesn't, is not, Gets in the dirty areas. No jam, exactly.
Jam.
So I think that, I think that maybe he could do something with a Paul Ranger, but it does show you how desperate the Rangers are trying to find out that, you know, if MDZ doesn't sign, they got to kind of scramble to get some kind of depth. Because, as you said, you know, other than Blake Pollitt, they don't have any offensive defensemen.
I mean, Dan Girardi would be running the power play, and no slight to Dan. He did okay as a second unit power play guy. He's certainly not a top unit power play guy, not even close.
He plays enough. He doesn't belong in the power play.
I know.
He's got defensive skills.
I know. All right. But, you know, and the other problem is, and then Jim certainly chime in, the other problem is with this condensed schedule, there's less practice, more games, so there's less time to practice the power play.
And, well, I wanted to just ask before, I know Tortorella's been asked by the reporters before about using four forwards and on the power play, and he said he doesn't like to do it, and then he's told them, you're an effing idiot, and get out of my, I'm done. Next question, that whole thing. So that's
probably
never going to happen anyway.
Right.
So.
And Michael Sauer, from what I hear, is taking a kind of a turn for the worse. I mean, that's what was reported in the New York Post. So he's out of the equation, too.
He's out of the equation, no question.
So it's going to be really interesting to see how the Rangers get this together in a quick fashion.
The whole thing. When you're talking about getting it together, there's going to be 6 to 8 days to get it together, maybe 10 max. And 6 or 8 of those will be camp days, and the rest will just be those days before the season starts on the 19th. So that's tough. And I'm sure everybody is sort of lining up some other players outside of the gate. So there's going to be a mad scramble for whoever else is a UFA, and then I think you might get some RFA hits there. I do. I think a guy like Ryan O'Reilly, who could score 25 goals, he's been doing it for Colorado, is out there as an RFA. He's unsigned. There's other players too, so I think some of that might come into play. I really do.
That's certainly possible. I hadn't thought about that, but that's why they pay you the big bucks. That's why you're the head honcho writer around these parts and all that good stuff. Now, do you share the same concerns that I do about the third and fourth lines on this team? I mean, they lost a lot of jam, to use Jim's words, a lot of grit. You lose crust. That's a big one. I mean, a guy who kills penalty, he's a very good penalty killer. What he didn't do in goal scoring, he made up with hustle. You've got Doobie now. We ragged on him for the $4 million or the $4 million that he made last year. He certainly is a guy who would come to play every night I would say every night. He did take some nights off. But he was a guy that was out there. He was hustling. You lose him. And Artie, listen, I loved Artie. I think Artie got a raw deal from Torts a lot of the times. He would go from the first line to the fourth line in the blink of an eye. I think because he was big and he wasn't physical, some Ranger fans didn't like him. I liked him.
Yeah, I mean, anytime he would tell me, I feel comfortable with my line mates, 3 weeks later they wouldn't be his line mates, and then all of a sudden the scoring would get sporadic again.
Right, and they said, he hasn't scored in 12 games. Well, he's playing with Eric Christensen. Seriously. He couldn't win here. And I'm glad that he's going to go in Columbus and he's going to do well, and then hopefully
he'll have ice time.
So, did the Rangers really address, by acquiring Pyatt and acquiring Aaron Asham and Jeff Halpern, did they really address that issue? I don't think they have.
I think they addressed it the same way when I asked Glenn Sater years ago when they got rid of Mike York. And they brought in, who was the guy from Edmonton? Now I'm forgetting his name. Ren Murray.
Ren Murray. Oh, God.
And on that day, there was nobody in the room who felt like Ren Murray was a suitable replacement except for Glenn Sater.
That's exactly right. He also thought Ron Lowe was a hell of a coach.
Yeah.
And
so,
Brian Trotsky had nice handwriting.
So I think they addressed it. I don't think they answered it. And I think you're worrying about those third and fourth lines is a fair point, because when you're playing a condensed schedule, a guy like Mike Rupp, who is not fleet of foot to begin with and just a year older now, he's going to be tough. And again, you can't put Hagelin with a guy like Boyle, because Boyle won't be able to keep up with Hagelin. I think you have to put Hagelin on the second line, because I don't think you could put him with a Brian Boyle, because same reason Jim said. So I think you have a problem with – the problem is this. It's real simple. I don't know why the roster has Mike Rupp, Michael Haley, and Aaron Asham. Those three, you don't need those three.
My argument would be that Rupp is probably there more as a locker room guy. He's a veteran. I mean, yeah, he didn't score since the Winter Classic. Practically last year.
That's why Russ wrote the book.
Russ wrote the book. He's going to write a book every time Rupp scores.
The book is all about the two goals.
And the salute. So, I mean, I think he'll make it. Why Michael Haley was chosen over Chris Newberry, I don't know. Haley, he plays like third line on the Whale, but he is a guy who will drop the gloves. Maybe they're looking for that. I mean, I don't know why.
In 40-something games with the Islanders, how many points do you think he had?
Five.
Three.
Three.
Oh, that's cool.
And he had no points left.
I've been watching a lot of Hartford, you know, because I was going through hockey control. I mean, he's a man of limited skill. But, what are you going to do? I mean, but, again, those type of players will get a chance with Tortorella over a guy like, say, if he's healthy, because I know he's been scratched the last couple of days, like a Marek Hrivík, who was actually going to go to camp, which
Hrivík should get a look, for sure.
I think he's been playing well from what I've seen, so.
He's at least a big winger. He should get a look. It's definitely a weakness of the team right now, so we'll see how he does. But essentially, the problem that the Rangers have with this depth at the forward position, and it's definitely a problem, is if you're looking down below for your reinforcements, you're looking at Newberry or Kolarik or Christian Thomas. There's no great answer down below, because JT Miller's not ready. I don't think they'd even call up JT Miller. So
no, he wasn't invited to camp, and I don't think he should go.
No, and I don't think he should go either. He needs a full year in the A.
Newberry has been up for a cup of coffee, as we call him here, Lobster Newberry.
He never does anything.
Except take bad penalties, which he's really good at.
Shane Kolarik is an AHL god, and then when he comes up to the NHL, he has trouble scoring. We know that.
I am a little partial to Chad. He's not as much as I was to Ember Leeson, but
you brought up Ember Leeson. Now I feel like it's 3 years ago.
Never listen. I'm a little worried about, but then come on, Russ. Those first two lines.
They're great.
A lot of people are picking the Rangers to win win the whole shebang here. I mean,
however,
my biggest thing, and I'll let you and Jim talk because I feel like I'm dominating it, but I really have to say my biggest concern is Tortorella, and will he let these guys just play offense and take it to the other team? That's my problem, the whole focus. Or he's going to be just, sold out to this defense first and hope Hank bails you out every game? I'm here to be honest, and I'm brutally honest. The Rangers went farther in the playoffs, than they have in recent history. But the thing is that they played too many games. They played too many one-goal games. And that was their ultimate demise, other than the Devils' fourth line, in the semifinals. So that's my problem. That's my problem. But with this shortened season, you don't know what he's going to go with. I don't know what direction they're going to go with. You go with veterans, or you go with the younger guys because it's a shorter season, It's a lot of X factors.
I think you go with the younger guys. You have to go with the young legs. I think it's important to get out of the gate strong in a shortened season. I was on a show recently. We interviewed Mike Richter. He said it took 20 games, and Mark Messier correctly predicted it would take about 20 games in 95 for them to sort of become a team again. And that's going to happen now. It's going to take – maybe it'll take less time, but maybe it'll take 10 games. Because it's certainly without preseason games, how do you think Marian Gaborik's going to be with his first contact? Because he's not facing any contact, and he might not really face much contact in camp.
Right.
It might not just be the time for it. So while that top line looks great, and at least Nash is skating, so there's the hope that the groin injury is gone, you don't know how Gaborik's shoulder is going to be. And you have to at least think about that and see how it's going to, respond. So we don't know. That's an unknown. So there's still that unknown, too, and I think that's sort of getting glossed over right now.
Okay.
Anybody touches Gaborik, Girardi jumps right in.
Sure, but it only took Pat Flatley to knock Barry Beck's shoulder out for good and have it keep popping out. So sometimes it only takes one hit.
Poor Barry. I can't think of Barry Beck anymore without thinking of that picture you guys posted.
I didn't post it.
Well,
he
Adam
posted
did
it.
Your buddy did it, right?
No, Barry Beck posted it. Don't blame it on anybody else.
But didn't Adam post it in your group?
He might have.
Yeah, that's where I saw it. I don't troll Barry Beck's Facebook. Anyway, I can't even think of poor Barry without thinking of that picture. But, it took the Rangers 20 games in 95 to get going. And granted, that was a more veteran team, but...
Mm-hmm.
I mean, even overall, I mean, they had to make a run just to finish eighth, and it wasn't even a great run. They still finished under 500 for the season.
Mm-hmm.
So, but hopefully, with this team being a little bit younger, maybe it won't take them as long. That's what I'm hoping. My answer to everything Eddie says is that he worries too much. That's my best answer.
Well, but I think he's right on for some of these things.
Because, I do too. I just like to tell him that he worries too much.
Oh, okay.
I do worry. I mean, I worry.
Some of it's the great unknown, and I do think Tortorella is going to sort of have to adjust to how this season is and what he has in camp and what he has to work with, because all kinds of things are going to happen in camp. Guys will be invited. Maybe Rivik puts pressure on somebody and he does make the team. Maybe somebody gets injured. Maybe, things will go on in that camp and things that are not under his control. So he's only going to be able to do so much. Coaches are going to really have to rely on their past coaching with these guys for this year's success, because the practice time is just not going to be there. They're not going to have a lot of time to do it. So they're going to play a similar system to what they've played before. Now, the new guys that are coming in will have to adapt. I think Pyatt's a pretty good pickup. I don't think he's a bad pickup at all. I think he'll play a role, and he'll be okay. But you have to rely on all those other guys to pick that system back up. You are now also relying on Chris Kreider in really his first full year in the NHL to sort of pick up where he left off last year, which we've seen not every young player does that.
No, I mean, he's, from what I've seen him, of him in the well, I mean, he's a guy, because we have seen in recent years success of guys coming right from juniors and doing well, you forget the fact that it takes a while in normal circumstances to get used to. I know he was, he was crazy in the playoffs. I mean, he was fantastic in the playoffs, but that was just a small sample against basically two teams. You don't know what's going to go on. And I think in the AHL, I got problems with that. I'll get to later. But, his stats aren't very good. I'm going to, be honest with you. But he certainly isn't, I don't think, getting the playing time where he's playing with the kind of players that he needs to play with.
That's a big factor. The line mates are a big factor.
Right. But you make a good point. Who knows what Chris is going to do? It takes a while to get used to this. To make the jumps up in levels of hockey. And I think we'd all like to think of him as like this phenom, But he certainly is not dominating the AHL. I watched the games. He's certainly not going around everybody. He's surely faster than everybody on the ice.
Yep.
But, again, that's also a result of how Hartford plays. But that's similar to how the Rangers play. The Rangers don't play it that wide open. They, usually get a lot of goals off the counterattack. And, either Henrik makes some fantastic save or you block a shot and, that kind of offense. So it'll be interesting, Like you said, and Jim is correct. I have a fear of the unknown, which now we have more question marks than ever because now I have to kind of gauge the team on a real short schedule, and it's almost like, think about it. How many games did the Rangers play in the playoffs last year?
They played three seven-game series.
They played 20 games. So basically,
76, right?
Right. So they played 20 home games. 20 games. Now they're going into a 48-game schedule. It's basically half a season they played in the postseason. So every game is going to, me, is going to be like a playoff game. And the Rangers, games are decided by a goal. They have new personnel that's going to take a while. They have young players, like you said. So that's what I'm worried about.
I want to know what Jim's worries are.
Oh, he's got no worries.
I did have a question. What is? I don't quite understand these buyouts that everybody's talking about. And what's up with Wade Redden? I keep hearing his name, and I don't want to hear his name anymore, Russ.
I don't ever want to hear his name.
You're hearing Wade Redden's name because they did make a rule, and everybody's sort of calling it the Wade Redden rule. And that's basically if someone has a one-way AHL deal. If you want to sort of stash a guy in the AHL, you now have to pay him the NHL minimum. Well, actually, you don't have to pay him. This counts against your cap. What would count against your cap is the NHL minimum plus $375,000. So, but that's for a one-way deal. They're not really talking about what happens with a two-way deal yet. But they are talking about, and this is confirmed, that you can jettison two players off your roster in the next 2 years. So you will be able to fully get them off your books, off the cap, and everything else. So
an amnesty buyout, essentially.
Amnesty buyout. And I would fully expect Wade Redden to fall under that this year for the New York Rangers. So I would think that that's probably one of the first things Glenn Seder will announce.
Okay. All right. Now, next year's
will be interesting.
Oh, sorry.
No, I'm just saying, but next year will be the interesting one because then you have one more. You have to do it by next year. Be interesting who might fall under that.
We can worry about that in June. Now, right. I got one other question, non-Ranger related.
Mm-hmm.
This Kovalchuk staying at KHL, is this for real?
No.
Is that a real possibility, or is he?
No, it's not a real possibility. The deal is that he had been talking some junk before, while the lockout was going on. Hey, maybe I'll just stay here, blah, blah, blah. And nobody was listening, right? Nobody cared.
Okay.
So then now the lockout's over, and he decides through a reporter, and some people blame the reporter, but I don't blame the reporter because Kovalchuk could have just kept his mouth shut. Some people he basically just said, hey, well, I'm playing tonight, which he played yesterday, and I'll look at the agreement when it's signed, and I'll decide then what I'm going to do. But by the time he said that and we all sort of talked about it online for a while, the KHL sent an email back and forth to Bill Daly, which basically was, yes, the KHL will comply with anybody that has an NHL deal, and the minute this is ratified, the KHL players will be kicked off their teams and sent back to the NHL, essentially, because that's their agreement with the NHL. So basically, Lubomir Vyshnovsky didn't sound like he really wanted to play for the Islanders, but guess what? He's going to be playing for the Islanders. And Ilya Kovalchuk wanted to sort of think about what he wanted to do, but guess what? He'll be in New Jersey.
Vyshnovsky sounded like he was more willing to go play in that Korean league that Tikkanen played in than he was before he went to play for the Islanders.
I sort of understand where
Theo Fleury played in.
Yeah, I understand where he's coming from. He got traded three times in a season. He's 37 years old. He's PO'd. Like, I get it. But at the end of the day, they're still going to pay you. and you'll still get top power play time. Why wouldn't, you know, well, maybe second power play. I guess Mark Strait will get the top power play time. But why wouldn't you still play? So I think at the end of the day, his agent called him up and said, listen, go collect your $4 million or whatever you make and shut up.
Okay.
And so that's what's going to happen.
Well, Russ, we appreciate you, as always, coming on with us. Before we let you go, why don't you tell us real quick about the new book and where we can get it?
The new book, it's the greatest book in the world. It's better than any. It's better than Roenick's book. It's better than any hockey book out there. But it's called The Winter Classic, The NHL Savior. You could go to barnesandnoble.com, and it's on sale. It's on sale at amazon.com. You can get it on the Kindle. Right now, those are the formats to get it in. It might be in stores. It might not. I haven't really looked. There's not that many stores left anyhow. Mostly it's online. And
right.
And then in a couple of months, it'll be on available via the iPad and such. We have this Amazon exclusive, so right now it's just those areas. Later on, it'll be with the Nook and the iPad. But that's how you can get it. Hey, you know what? For $9.99 for the Kindle, it's a hell of a deal.
Yeah, my wife has a Kindle, so I can have her download it, and I'll read it there.
There you go. I didn't know you read, so that's news to me.
He reads. I actually have an autographed copy of the book. So I haven't delved into the voluminous read that it is. But I will, though. I'll get to it.
I was happy to see you, though. I was.
Yeah, it was nice seeing you there. And your personal photographer, Adam Rader.
He did take a picture of you because people were asking about you, and you disappeared. You turned into vapor quicker than they could find you.
There's a bunch
which is hard for me to do, let's face it. Yeah, I was kind of, you know, I came out from Long Island with a couple of friends, and I had to get back. I had some pride in it, you know, and I wanted to hang around. And I could have shot the, you know, the shit with you guys all day, but I got things to do. I'm a big time internet radio celebrity, as you know.
You are. I mean, you moved on that day. You moved faster than Pavel Bure after his 9th knee operation.
Wow! Thank you.
Oh.
With the parachute on the back, you remember when he was doing that?
Yeah.
All right, well, Russ.
All right, Russ. We'll
thanks,
talk to you
guys
during the season.
Okay.
Take care, Russ.
Bye.
Bye. The one and only Russ Cohen.
The one Russ Cohen. Thanks for coming in.
Hall at Oates and Cohen. That famous.
I just saw him walk to the green when he's getting his.
he stopped to talk to Dean Martin on the way out.
Yeah, he's getting his underground radio swag. So the arguments...
The home edition.
Yeah, the home edition of this ridiculous game we play. So there's a lot of chat about the lines. I'm looking at the chat room. Mandar's back, and of course...
I can't believe Mandar's back.
Yeah. Mandar is going to ask Joe Narrative.
Mandar has done sitting shiva for the late, great Jack Klugman.
Yes, I know. I was going to say, not that it has anything to do with Jack Klugman, but we did have a couple birthings. So we had one birthing significantly. Jay of the Dead has become a father. Along with his lovely wife, Charlene, a little blue shirt underground Bambino has joined our legion.
Yep.
So hopefully he'll be raised right. Jay of the Dead, congratulations. I just want to, before we get into this whole thing, I've got to say, man, no matter where we go, I go, Jim, you don't get, this is one thing about the show that I wish that you would experience, is when you go out to these functions, people come up to you and say, hey, aren't you from Blue Shirt Underground Radio? And I always say, no, I have nothing to do with this show. No, I always say.
That shit show?
This and that, and I told you about this gentleman I met at the McDonough signing, and I'm trying to think of his name. Did we ever figure out his name?
Oh, you know what? I forgot to look.
All right. I will
make that a priority.
Yes. I just want to say that I just love the fact you guys, I really think of you as my range of friends. Not my real friends, but my range.
Right. No.
You know what I'm saying? No, but I really love the camaraderie. I mean, I see Matthews here, Andrew SFL, Anatoly CCP, who I've seen a lot of times in person. Coaster is a dedicated cutter. I don't know what he is, but he's always here. Mandar and Dope Negative and Jason, Jay of the Dead, and Adam. I mean,
and you know, we don't want to. I'm sorry, I don't mean to interrupt, but we don't want to forget some of the people that can't listen live, but we know they're going to be listening either tomorrow morning or as they say on the Facebook group, on the morrow in the UK. Chris and Gary and everybody else over there that'll be listening. Good morning to all of you and around the world. It's fun to be back.
Joe Throney, who's called me twice and I haven't called him back. Mario M., who was in the city taking pictures today or yesterday. Margaret Hurley, some of the newest. Mr. French is even here. I mean, this is standing room only. I love you all, you sons of bitches. All right. Let's go to the phone.
Mark Quinnabrow. All right. Now, I am going to I'm going to have to cut out of here in just a few minutes. So
okay.
I will then you feel free to stay on as long as you want. We have another 40 minutes on the schedule, and then, as you know, we can go to podcast, whatever. So let's go to Justin. What's up?
Hey, what's up, fellas?
What's up, Justin?
Finally, it's about fucking time, huh?
And I would like to give credit where it's due. Justin broke the news to me at 3:00 Sunday morning that the lockout was over. And it was one of the rare times that I'm awake at 3:00 in the morning, let me tell you.
Yeah, I pretty much ran around in circles for like a good 20 minutes. I was pretty fucking excited. Well, how you guys feeling, man? You guys excited?
Very excited.
I'm jazzed. I can't wait for this thing to start. I was even looking at the pictures of Brad Richards held an informal, gathering yesterday. I was jazzed just seeing those pictures, seeing the Ranger uniform back on the ice.
Anything.
Exactly.
The chat room wants to know if you're out at the gas station with Frankie.
We're hanging out, man. Having a good time. I got my tinfoil hat on.
Nice.
And I'm not a crazy person, despite the brain injury.
There he is. Hey, Frankie.
And I'm not a crazy person, despite the brain injury.
I can't wait to hear his voice again. All right, well, listen, Justin, we got lots of phone calls to take, and we want to try and get everybody on, hear what they have to say. So we'll talk to you soon.
All right, fellas. Catch you later.
All right, take care.
Wikipedia.
Well, exactly. Thank you, Paulie. Before we go, why don't we do this? Why don't we talk a little whale, and then you could take some calls, and you could.
Sure. I don't. That's fine.
Because we did want to talk whale. You've had your.
Yeah, we'll talk about
round.
I'm ready. Are you ready?
No, because I don't know where your new.
All right, I'll find that. I got to tell you, this show is.
There are two files on the switchboard.
It's the minute one.
It's the minute one. All right, let's see. Here we go. Let's try it. Now, Ranger fans, it's time for What's Harpooning with the one and only Edward Geist. Everybody knows there's only one place to get the latest on such whale players as Ryan Bourque, Matt Gilroy, Kyle Jean, Sligan Sammy Clausen, Jed Kowarik, Chris Kreider, Dylan McElrath, J.T. Miller, and of course, the great Lobster Newberry, and that piece of garbage, Cam Talbot. Also, where else are you going to find out what Christian Thomas is doing? And now, without further ado, ladies and gentlemen, here's Eddie.
Wow.
Shirley Hemphill.
Yeah. I look a little like Shirley. I got one of those pick combs in my hair.
There you go. Rest in peace, Shirley Hemphill.
So basically, if you got to say something to me, just say, hey, Ed, what's harpooning with this player? I just say it that way. Okay.
Hey, Ed, what's harpooning with Chris Kreider?
Well, let me tell you about what I've seen from Chris Kreider. I alluded first of all, he's got a lot of penalty minutes. He's like third in the AHL in rookie penalty minutes as far as rookies go for the AHL. So I think he's been frustrated. Good. Still has the skating. I really don't think, you know, his style really is indicative of how he's going to. His style is not the same as the Whales. He needs to play with skill in order to be shining. So don't get crazy about his lack of scoring in the minors. I think it'll come to, you know, he'll play better once he gets, you know, with the big club. And I always think back to last year in camp when Kreider came to camp and Brad Richards was like, who's this guy? And why are we sending him down, basically? So if Brad Richards likes him, I think he'll do well. Again, there may be some growing pains, but we'll see how that goes. So ask me, now phrase it again by saying, what's harpooning with this guy?
What's harpooning with Kelsey Tessier, or Kyle Tessier, as he's known to some of us?
I don't know why we're talking about this guy, but Kelsey's small. He's decent on faceoffs. We better get to the major guys if we're going to talk about Kelsey Tessier. He's second line, third line center over there. I don't see him ever making the range. Next.
All right. What's harpooning with, I don't know, Cam Talbot?
Actually, Talbot got a shutout the other night. He's actually looked decent. As a matter of fact, the whole Hartford team has kind of shored up their defense in the last eight games or so. He played decent. Actually, the other goalie, he played 13 straight, Talbot there, and Jason Mission, that giant guy, he's like 6'7" goaltender we got. Andre the Giant there, he got a shutout against Wilkes-Barre. I know way too much about the Whale. I need to get a life. Go ahead.
Well,
what's happening with Dylan McElrath?
All right. What's harpooning with Dylan McElrath?
Well, let me tell you.
Who gives a fuck?
Let me tell you. I got to tell you, Dylan McElrath, as advertised as a fighter and a guy stands up for players, is the real deal. I've seen players take liberties, and Dylan has basically just gone right after them and with one or two punches disposed of them. I haven't seen him go toe-to-toe with any heavyweights. He's been taking a lot of penalty minutes. He just came back from the kneecap injury. He looks okay. His skating needs to improve. Maybe a late call-off at the end of the year. I can't see him making a team this year. He needs another year under his belt. You know, he's not the horror show that people would like to make him out to be. But, you know, as a 5 or a 6, I think he'd be great with this team.
All right. Now, wait. I have to know, what's harpooning with future Norris Trophy winner and misunderstood Matt Gilroy?
Well, to say the least, I haven't been impressed by Matt Gilroy. I know he's got a lot of love around these parts, but
Hi,
I'm Matt Gilroy. I'm just going into my body at 34. Whatever he's doing. He's a minus 17. A lot of that was due to how bad the Whale were playing as a team. They also had a big adjustment with no Redden back there, so they kind of had to figure their way with the defenseman. He may get called up just because of the familiarity with Tortorella, but on his play, I see him as a career AHLer. I guess that's about it, really. Well, you can ask me, what about Marek Hrivík?
What's harpooning with Marek Hrivík?
All right, I'm trying to get you to this real fast. I love this guy. This is my fave Rave.
This is your new Enver Leeson. This is the guy.
No, this is the guy who's got potential.
Is the guy. Marek
Hrivík. Don't put me on the line here for his whole career now. I'm not vouching for NHL.
No, there's no backing down now. Your wagon is officially hitched to the Marek Hrivík star. It's it. It's you and him together. You two are like Rex and Mark. Your wife is going to have a Marek Hrivík tattoo.
No, he's not the new Gracha. I'm just saying what I've seen from him, I like. And it's his first year in the AHL and the A, and he looks to, you know, adapt quickly. Al. So that you can go do and what you got to do, and I'll take over the show, which is going to real be. Which
right.
one is Chandler's number? He told me not to go to him.
Which one is what?
Chandler's number.
Chandler is he's for I'll here. I'll put names in before I go. I
okay.
think let's see if I on the on that one, the one I just put up there.
I'm laughing. Mike Dink says, what's harpooning with Stephen Rice? What's Ethan Werrick playing for the Portland Pirates now, Mandar.
Arrgh.
Yes. Looking very good as he scored the game-winning goal against the Whale a couple weeks ago. So having a better
still
season.
One of the best guests we've ever had. I don't give a shit what anybody says about Ethan. You never say a bad word. You never hear a bad word about Ethan Werrick out of me.
That's right. And
all right.
Harpooning? Stephen Rice, I don't know. Didn't he win the – he was a junior champion with the World Juniors. And well, I'll get into that. All right. So, okay. Go ahead, John.
All right. It's all yours. I'll see you guys for the next show. Talk to you soon.
Okay. All right. So Jim has left the building, so to speak, so you are stuck with me, which means things are going to get – what? What happened? Hello, can you hear me? Did you hear me? Can you hear me? In the chat room, tell me, can you hear me? Okay, thank you. All right, so I am still on the air, which means that you're stuck with me. We got some people to talk to. Let's get that done so I can hold a total filibuster of my thoughts. But let's go to the crazy, the wacky, Jack Love. Down in Florida, we haven't heard in quite a while from Jack. Jack, how are you? And welcome to Bootstrap Underground Radio. Okay, apparently Jack is sauteing his onions. Let's go to the crazy and nutty, fantabulous Coaster the Crazy Greek. Coaster!
Okay.
Baby, it's hockey season.
Happy, happy, joy, joy.
Happy, 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 joy, joy. That's right. And what's on your mind tonight?
Well, we got to get number one. We got to get the band back together. And
yes.
Hopefully soon. Hopefully, very, 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 very soon.
Yes, we can have a gathering of craziness and get to see everybody. Can tolerate in the same room and cheer for our team.
Right.
The season's going to be short, so maybe a couple gatherings and right into playoffs. I mean, it's going to be intense this year. Certainly going to be intense.
I know, and I know this is sacrilege. I know, and it's a little early about the setting up the lines and everything because we haven't started training camp yet. But you might have to put Callahan on the third line.
Get you out of your head. There is no way of playing Callahan, who scored 20-odd some goals, is winding up on the third line with Brian Boyle. It's not happening. I don't know what happened in the offseason. I used to think your Ranger IQ was immense level. I think it's
you're
dropped.
You're going to put Hagler on the third line? Are you nuts? He's going to get wasted.
What I think is going to happen is you're going to see him start out in the third line,
right.
And he'll be like situationally put from, you know, to the first line when things get crazy. I don't know. You know, he mixes the line so much, or at least did in the past. Last year was a little bit different, but to a certain degree, I wouldn't count it Haglund being a third line. Now, listen, we love Hags. We love his speed, but he did have a slump there scoring-wise, a little bit of a drought in the second half. He lost a little bit, but he's still the fastest guy on the ice. So it's going to hinder him playing with the third line, but let's face it, until the Rangers get better, he's going to have to play whatever they, you know, there's, you know, whatever they put him with. So I'm like you, I'm a big Haglund fan. I want to see him get the points he deserves, and let's hopefully he plays, get some power play time, and you got it now. I'm more worried about the PK. You know, you lose guys like Dubinsky and Preston and Isimov, who were certainly guys that you really could count on the power, you know, the penalty kill. And now you're going to have to rely on Callahan, who's super solid, one of the best penalty killers in the league. It's going to be interesting to see how that works out.
Is Nash going to be on the PK?
I don't think so.
Okay.
I think Nash is basically going to be like Gabbert, play the power play and the have to take a regular shift. But it'll be interesting, and you know, of course, you got Boyle as well. But those third and fourth slots, and I'm not so sold on the whole Jeff Halpern thing. I mean, this is a guy who sat out when we played them in the playoffs, two or three games in the Cap series. So if the Caps didn't want to play him, I don't know why, I just can't see him being a big addition. So we'll see what happens with that. Like you said earlier, I'm a warrior. So like see everything on the ice, percolating. And let's face it, the Rangers for the most part,
close to
have they've pretty much have had the same core of players for like the last three or four years. And now we've seen Artie and Doobie and, Go and Prusko. So it's going to be interesting. Change is never good.
Correct.
So, anything else you have for me tonight?
Who do you think is the surprise from the farm that makes the varsity this year, if anybody?
Russ talked him down, but I really think that Chad Kolarik, although I don't think he was invited to camp, I'll have to check on that. He looks like he could make the big team, but I really see them going to the HL forward-wise with either Haley or Newberry because of their grit and their willingness to fight, especially when you play Philly and other teams like that who like to start stuff. I'll tell you one thing. Watching the Whale, the Phantoms, who are the Flyers,
right.
They have that weasel Zach Rinaldo. You remember him from last year?
Yeah.
He was taking cheap shots all over the place, and it looks like even that rivalry is still heated. And you know how it's going to be Ranger Philly, especially after it went down in the Winter Classic.
Right.
You got to have some toughness, so they need some guys to fight. And last year, Prust was the only guy who fought. You think about it, he had like 25 fights. And, exactly. As Vince says, Ronaldo's a bum. And that guy Zolnarchuk is the worst player there. So, Costa, thank you so much for your phone call.
No problem, man. I'll see you next, talk to you next week or whenever.
Okay, take care, my brother. So I certainly have some reservations about what's, going to happen, but I'm also excited. I mean, you get a Rick Nash here. We're talking 40 goals. This is 40 goals on our side of the ledger that we didn't have last year. And the Michael Delzato, as Russ said earlier, it does hurt the power play. That's certainly an issue, I think, that it's kind of like right to the forefront, the way I'm looking at it. Now, Delzato, to me, is a guy that... I don't feel deserves over $3 million a year. I understand where he finished in scoring defenseman last year, but this isn't a fantasy league. This is, they are coveted, but, Michael has had problems with the defensive zone quite a lot in his career, and I don't believe in rewarding a player too much after only one good year, after some disappointing ones. Especially in his second year where he wound up in Connecticut / Hartford. So I can't see locking this guy up for more than 3 years. I don't know. Maybe I'm being stingy with the cash, but we'll see. But that Ranger power play looks real good, and a lot of people are picking the Rangers. I can't wait just for the rivalries and what have you. Now, I'm going to try to go back to Jack Love. I don't know if he's just listening or he wants to talk, but I'm going to go back to Jack Love on the line. How are you, Jack?
Hey, how are you, Eddie?
I'm doing good, my friend.
Hey, how you doing? It's been a long time. I haven't been around lately because my hours, I usually go to work like 2 in the morning.
Oh, so, really?
Yeah. I work at the post office. I get the parcels and mail ready for the carriers in the morning, and it's pretty heavy, intense work, and just don't have any time, you know. You got to get up early.
Well,
I don't know how that... That might change in the next few weeks, so we'll see.
Well,
but
well, the first question I got to ask you right off the bat: how were you feeling during this lockout? Were you as frustrated as I was? But I kind of was just like, you know, you're working the overnights, but I have other things to think about, you know. So I wasn't so super into it every day, you know, being disappointed and so I mean, how do you feel? What were you going through, and how do you feel now?
Well. You know, I love many sports. I still follow the Giants, and, you know, with the Knicks doing so good, I know a lot of people don't like basketball, but I grew up when the Knicks won the championship in 69 and watched all that. So there was basketball to turn to, but there's other things to do in life. My big hobby is riding roller coasters. I belong to the American Coaster Enthusiast Club that's on, like, Travel Channel. So I open up new coasters. So I kept busy doing that. Actually, I'm in at Universal Studios in Orlando this week. Filming.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, that's like one of my big hobbies. But I look at it this way. My love is the New York Rangers, New York City, hockey. I mean, I don't run out and buy jerseys and this and that. But let's face it, the hockey fan is a special breed, and especially the Ranger fans, I believe, and I really would have liked to see the season, like, at least, like, 60 games like the schedule used to be, because I figured that would be a fair amount of games, but it is what it is, and I don't think the season will be tainted, whoever wins the cup, you know, that's legitimate, because somebody's got to win it, so why not us?
Right. Well, I want to ask the chat room and you people listening via iTunes on the podcast, although I'll never hear your responses, but do you feel if the Rangers were to win the Cup, which I still think the Rangers have, the Rangers still have some things to overcome. But listen, everybody's in the same boat here. Everybody's got a short time to work with, not a lot of time to get things, ship shape real quickly. But do you feel if the Rangers were to win the Cup, now you've weighed in and said, no, it wouldn't be tainted. Do you guys think it would be tainted? Now, I know it was desperate for a Cup, but you know the Devil, we gave it to the Devil fans when they won in the shortened season.
Right,
and that
was the year the Rangers raised the Cup flag, their banner. And that really, I think, hurt hockey a lot because that Rangers Stanley Cup win that year did so much for hockey. It got so much coverage on ESPN and all that. They waited the 54 years, or, you know, to win the Cup. So many people that I talked to that weren't hockey fans were talking about, man, did you see that Devil Rangers series? That seven, you know, the overtime. I mean, people were mesmerized. They said that was fantastic. So what happens? They have a strike, and they didn't play till January, and I think it was 48 games that year, too. It left a bad taste in my mouth, but put it this way. I love hockey, and I have no control over the strikes. I have no control over contracts. I get pissed off, but it is what it is, and they're playing the game now, and I'm going to watch it. It's as simple as that. Even though I'm, you know, the only thing I hope is that they give a good discount for the center ice package, because I think they owe that to the fans. I'm not paying no full amount for it.
There's got to be something. They should just give it to us for free, but, you know, nothing's free in this world. You know that.
No.
Nothing free. Except Pusher on the Ground Radio.
I was just at a gas station, and the first time I saw that you could pay for air with a credit card. You don't need the 50 cents. What is this world coming to? You can to pay for free air.
Wow.
But,
that is terrible.
But I'm excited for the same reason you said. You know, I want to see Rick Nash. That would have been a shame not to see him at all. I think the Rangers' power play is important. That'll be indicative what how the season will go, the teams that are going to get off to a good start and be ready. And it's going to be tough because those first few games of the regular season are probably not going to be that, you know, the lot of offsides. It'll be interesting, but to be honest, I'm surprised they went through it. I really thought the season was going to be canned, but that's what happens when you bring in a mediator. They will get things done. Should have done it earlier. What did they wait so long for? Jeez. By the way, I did have sauté onions for dinner. That's funny.
Get out of here.
No, I had mushrooms and pork and all that and potatoes, but yeah, I had a lot of onions. But I didn't even know I was on the air. I'm actually listening the whole show. I'm listening to on the phone up here.
Oh,
Demi, and you know.
Well, I appreciate it, and I appreciate listening to the show, and we miss your phone calls, and we're glad you're back. I'm glad everybody's back in this chat room and listening on the phones and the iPhone.
I will be back, and once again, I'm more than happy to do the game threads again. I can't wait, actually.
Oh, yeah, that's right. That's what I missed, too. Yeah, it's your game threads, which people love. If you follow us on Facebook, you sign up on Blue Shirt Underground Radio, the great Jack Love will be posting game threads where you can comment as the game goes on in real time.
Yeah. I don't want to think like I took off on you. It's been a while, but, man, work is just
We've all gone our separate ways with the lockout, but we're back and we're better than ever. No way.
I know it's funny, but I know, like I said about basketball, wouldn't it be funny? Just like 94 when the Knicks went to the championship and lost, this is a possibility that it could happen again this year with the Knicks have a good team, the Rangers with Nash and the additions. I'm ready. There's a lot of, you know, to the true hockey fan, I understand people who don't, you know, want to buy jerseys and this, and I understand that, or they don't want to see the game. But this is a game that I've loved since I've been a Ranger fan since 65. And, if the game is there to watch, I'm going to watch it. It's as simple
that's
as that.
I don't have to make some political stance or some kind of stance. Hockey's on. My Rangers are on. I'm watching them.
Exactly. That's really, you know, whether I do it in my jacuzzi or, you know, it doesn't matter, but...
Yeah, I gotta tell you, you're more than anybody I know.
You want to know something though? It did kind of mess up my trip because
the heartbreak. All right, go. I just wanted to say that on the radio. Go ahead.
What's that?
So you wanted to say something about the jacuzzi?
No. I was just going to say about my hockey trip. I usually go to New York every year, so it kind of was messing up my trip. Do I go up to see the Knicks? I really want to see the Rangers. You know, I put it on hold. So now I can make plans sometime in February, March again to go up there. So I'm kind of happy about that.
Oh, that's good.
And I want to see the new garden improvements, too, and all that.
Yeah,
so,
renovation going on while we were locked out. So
Hopefully I could get to meet you guys one day. It always seems like I'm a day off or a...
Yeah, I definitely...
...that a short. But, all right, hey... I got to go, and I was good listening to the show. Russ had some great points, and I'll try to get as much time in here, but I'll be doing those threads again. I know that for sure.
Okay, Jack. So, take care.
All right.
Good night.
All right. Take care. Bye.
Okay. All right. There you go. Now, there is a crazy – now, the answer to the question that I asked before about the tainted cup, Ranger fans in this chat room said – no, it will not be tainted. Now there is a craziness. There is a virtual battle between is Michael Delzato good or not? Now, we have the great Mandar, who of course is stirring the pot, saying that Delzato is worthless. He is certainly not better than Wade Redden was with the Rangers. Of course, overstating in order to bait people into fighting, which people are taking the bait. Although I think that the great man does believe Michael Delzato is not a good hockey player.
But I believe Michael Delzato is a fairly good hockey player. You know, I'm on the fence with Michael because I really think Delzato has an ego problem. And why I believe this is my secret sources. I don't like guys who go for the money grab right away. So that's got me a little perturbed. Although, I mean, I should embrace the whole, you know, listen, go for your payday capitalism thing, which I'm all down with. But Delzato, after sticking the joint up, you know, immediately wants, you know, this is how good I am. And he kind of knows that the Rangers are in a little bit of a quandary as far as offensive defense. But I feel like maybe he's asking a little too much. But I don't think Delzato is as horrible defensively as Mandar. And as a lot of guys are saying in the chat room, Delzato is young. But I know what Mandar would say, just because you're young doesn't mean you're really good, blah, 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 the whole thing. So we'll see where the Michael Delzato thing ends. In other ex-Ranger news, Kovalev, as in Alexei Kovalev, is in camp with the Florida Panthers. I think Kovalev last year played in the KHL most of last season, if not the whole season. You know, it seems to me that the whole season, the off season to me is a blur. Actually, it's all a blur right now. Also, I think Rock would be here. Rock is a die. He must have been dying without hockey because that's the only sport he likes. So we've gone over it. People are still discussing lines. And what happened, you know, like I had said earlier when I was doing my What's Harpooning bit, I've watched a lot of Whale games, so I've kind of gotten to see what they're all about, and really they are bereft of any kind of defenseman that can be called up right now. McElrath, like I said, is still developing. He needs to really stay out of the box more. I know he wants to, you know, kind of establish himself as a fighter and someone, you know, but he needs to play more and be in the penalty box less. So you guys, I know, and improve his skills. And he did that in the last game that they played against Wilkes-Barre and looked pretty good. So, you know, I got a chance to meet Ryan McDonough on Saturday. He did an autograph signing in Scarsdale, New York. At these, I don't know, American Sports Legends, I think it was there, the place. Now, I don't want to get too, listen, I'm comfortable in my heterosexuality, so I will tell you this. I met Ryan, I said, oh, Ryan McDonough, like that, exactly like that. And he goes, how are you doing, sir? And I was like, wow, he really knows me. Then I realized he doesn't know me. That I'm just another one of the fans, that the multitude of fans that he meets. And he looked a little bit awestruck by the whole thing. You know, it's got to be kind of weird when you meet people who have a connection with you, but you have no connection with them. You know, and Ryan McDonough is, like I said, I've said before, and I told him this, you're the first jersey that I've really basically ever had. Because I brought my jersey for him to sign. I don't want to be like, he was a nice guy. Of course he was a nice guy. I mean, you know. So, and the autograph signing wasn't that much. It was $25. I'm not a guy that goes to these things. But, you know, again, he's my favorite player on the Rangers, so I was willing and able and to rock and roll all night and dish out the $25 and have the jersey signed. Now I got the signed jersey, the whole stick. So I was good with that. But getting back to my being safe and my heterosexuality, I had put my hand on his shoulders. This guy's got some shoulders. I mean, really, seriously. I mean, I'm just saying, you know, again, I feel a little uncomfortable. I feel like I'm going to be judged here by saying that, but he's got incredible, well-developed shoulders, man. And I'm just imagining this guy crunching, like, you know, body-checking people. I guess you have to be really big in your upper body, so to speak. So let me throw this out to, is anybody, now Gaborik, from what we hear, is healthy. So we kind of got got what we wished for in that respect. When this lockout started, at least maybe if they did hold out lockout for a lengthy period of time, Gavrik would be healthy. Do you think having Nash – now, I think I know the answer, but I want to just put this out there. Do you think having Nash adds to Gavrik's goal totals or takes away from Gavrik's goal totals? Because what do you guys think? Because they do really rely on Marion, you know, solely the last 3 years for goal scoring. And now that Nash is there, now you would think it would certainly take the pressure off of him. But, you know, Marion Gavrik has never been second fiddle anywhere as far as the top goal scorer. And do you consider him second fiddle or co-fiddle or first fiddle? I mean, where do you put Gavrik versus Nash as the number one goal scorer? Other questions you have to ask, can Ryan Callahan put the goal totals that he put in last year? Callahan had never been able to, I think, get over the 20-goal mark. He may have done it one time before. He had a good season goal scoring-wise. So, it's there's a lot of questions. Like I said, as the season and training camp reveals itself, there'll be some answers. But there's a lot out there. Everybody's still talking about the Rangers defenseman out there. So Nash versus Gavrik, no one weighing in on that. I'll put that in queue then. And the Rangers fans are not talking about the 5, 6, and 7th defenseman. You've got Bickle, you've got Emminger. Emminger is a notorious slow starter, and that sometimes he finds himself in Tortorella's Chateau Bow Wow. But he certainly can get the job done. He's not slick out there. He gets it done ugly, but he gets it done. And, I think Strawman is a number four at this point. Jay Wells was a rock, Joe, but not in that game seven. What's that game seven? He ices the puck with 35 times. It'll be interesting. But the Rangers, by far, I think, have the best defense. You throw Henrik Lundqvist in there, and they certainly have the best defense in the NHL. The question is whether they're going to be able to put the puck in. It's tough to say puck in the net. They certainly have the personnel. I'm just worried about the whole philosophy. Now, Mike Digg is getting on Emminger. He's got to slow everything. Auntie M is, like I said, he's not that bad. I mean, for what they got, he was pretty much, I think, a Flyer cast-off when we got him, and he picked up on waivers. He certainly filled in, and you have to say that last year, and especially everybody we plugged in, including Stu Bickle. I mean, with the Michael Sauer concussion early in the year, which was a big loss for the Rangers. A lot of people forget about that. Sauer was playing really well. He was good. He was tough in front of the net. Bickle took that part of him out. Now, listen, Bickle is not a guy who's going to go end to end these. He's not going to play your power play, quarterback your power play, but he certainly played admirably. I think Stu Bickle won a lot of fans' hearts over last year. I really think a lot of people were pulling for him. Now, when he got in the playoffs, it was a little bit of a joke when he was, getting two shifts a game. But Stu Bickle was a good sixth guy. So we'll see what happens. No Aaron Voros. He's out of the total commission as far as the Rangers go. Now, with that said, it's 8:59 on your AM dial. 8:59 in your time. And our time has run out. I'd like to thank the great Russ Cohen for joining us, author of the book The Winter Classic, Jim Schmiedeberg for joining me, and once again as co-host of this great broadcast. The Blue Shirt Underground Radio Throng that came out tonight. I know there's like 100,000 guests in the chat room. Guys, sign up. Get your screen name. Chat with these guys. Mario Morgado. Joe Negative, Jay of the Dead, Howie Sussman, Rock, all these guys, Robbie, Tracy, everybody. I mean, we have hundreds of people in his, I mean, in this chat room that are just want to chat with you. We're on Facebook. We'll be back next Tuesday. Same bat channel, same bat time. Everybody, on behalf of the New York Rangers and the NHLPA,